Ms. Lee's not on there, do you want to give her a text?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for waking us up this morning to a beautiful day. And Lord, we pray that as we go about the county's business, that we'll do it that's pleasing to you. Lord, give us wisdom and discernment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Scott, you're on top.
Well, just initially a public service announcement. I'm 10 days out from having the budget finished and juggling a lot of stuff to get that done. We're going to give you some preview stuff. We got our what we think is our final audit draft Friday afternoon. We've got hard copies to share, but they've not been submitted yet to the LGC. And as you know, we've got a candidate to present to you this afternoon, the assistant county manager. We've got the bids to go over. We've got a lot of exciting stuff going on. So we're trying to plan for an event on June 29th down at Tall Glass of Water. So I may try to throw in some questions on that toward the end. In front of you, there is a sheet that looks like this. It's the bid tabulation. There were four bids that came in. The first one that opened scared me to death from Calvin Davenport at $4.6 million, because we've got about $3.6, $3.7 million to work with. The low bid is the AR Chesson Company. And there were a number of alternates. You may recall the folding partition in the community room was an alternate. The outdoor maintenance building for cooperative extension, the library reading loft, the mezzanine stair and handrails on the library side. They made the aluminum signage letters an alternate. That's only $4,500. Finishes for the reading circle, and then the vinyl wall covering, wood base, chair rail type things. Albert is at a meeting in Durham today. He did not have this meeting on his schedule because this hadn't been set yet. He's available to come up on Wednesday this week, the 22nd. His schedule's wide open, so if we'd like to meet with him as a full board or meet with him as a subset, whatever y'all would want to do, he's willing to come up and talk through everything. He believes that the Chesson proposal is workable. Apparently they were very cautious in the way they costed out their glass installation, and he believes they may have basically doubled their budget on that, to the point where he thinks they can get it back into budget and come real close to what we've got to work with. So, but given the priority of this project, if you all are available, it might be good to let him explain everything and talk through everything.
I do want to call Scott in our conversation at Airport Authority about our new terminal. There were some concerns with AR Chesson contractors, because they're the ones that did the courthouse over in Durham County. They ran a year behind, and of course we know that there's problems there too now, whether that's contractor problems or the design team's problems, I don't know, but there were some concerns amongst the Airport Authority.
They did have heating and air problems over there at the courthouse. But that would be contracted to them also. Yeah.
So just make sure everybody's in the know. And everybody at that table at the Airport Authority had something bad to say about Chesson.
Well, for what it's worth, the architect is...
Well, I didn't.
So. I've shared that with him. He has weighed in, indicating that their firm has had good success with Chesson. And feels confident that they can make this project viable and successful. And apparently Chesson has pledged that they're going to have their number one site superintendent on the job if you remember on the courthouse in Hertford, and when you drive by, it looks really, really awkward because they've got a metal roof with a nice pitch and an air conditioning unit just popped right out through the roof because the design didn't include a way to incorporate the heating and air conditioning unit up above where it was supposed to be. So at the last minute, they had to cut a hole in the roof and jerry-rig a way to put the AC in. And then once they got open, they did have a lot of moisture problems because they had all their rooms set up with the motion detectors. So if there's no movement in the room, there's no lights, and there's no AC, and courtrooms set empty and idle for a good period of time.
Sure.
So they had a lot of mold and mildew, and I guess it's arguable whether that's a contractor issue or a design
issue. Well, it's actually both, because the contractor should be picking up on that when he's reviewing the architecturals. And so, you know, it's everybody that was involved in building its fault.
Yeah, I can't speak to Chesson as a builder.
I can't
speak to them, however, though, as a community partner. And they have been a tremendous community partner over the years. I don't mean just, you know, as of recent, but over the years, especially in Martin County. They would not have their Boys and Girls Club in Martin County had not been for a $70,000 check written by Chesson to help finance it. You know, and they've been, and they're close, you know. I never heard anything bad, but I don't doubt what you say about that, because, you know. But they've been a good community partner, I know that.
Well, the architect also indicated that one of the reasons he think they were able to bring their bid so much lower than the others is they made a commitment to reach out and get local subs. And I happen to have been told that the site work sub is, Boyd Copeland, the person they've used. It's a local individual. So he believes they've really tried to get folks that are within close proximity, lower cost for mobilization.
Well, the good thing about it is the architect, Albie, I mean, he's got oversight, and if he's recommended them, then this ball falls in his lap. That's the deal. So that's the good thing. It just doesn't fall in the county commissioner's lap. So it's
at least we're not paying rent somewhere to house our folks.
You're exactly right.
If they do run a year behind.
You're right. I mean, it falls in his lap. And these things can be written in the contract, too. Penalization for running behind. All kinds of different things.
But usually when they run behind you due to weather or something unforeseen.
Sometimes it could be because of labor issues. It could be because of the heating and air guy didn't get there when he was supposed to get there. He's running a month behind.
And if the design plan is tight, and I believe we've got a very good design company, if the design plan is tight, that should aid the builder. You know, in terms of running into problems. Sometimes it's the builder's problem, sometimes it's the design problem, sometimes it's a little both. But the design is very tight, and you know, taking into effect things like the mold and the, you know, that kind of thing from the air conditioning system. That should have been called a design, I think. Mm-hmm. Builder's going to build what's called for.
I mean, but if you forgot an air conditioning unit and
I was getting ready to make that point.
I don't think they forgot about it.
What's going on with AC here? There's no AC units in this thing.
I can't believe.
Pretty sad.
How would that pan design?
You got no AC. I don't know. I've never heard of that before. There's no hole in the roof to put the AC units up here.
That's crazy. And again, I may be oversimplifying the story I heard at the time, but
regardless of that, I think, you know, we're good. I got pretty good faith in Albie. I mean, if he's got confidence in him, then, you know, what is what it is.
But would you all like to have a short session with him on Wednesday? And if so, if you could.
Now, the board's feel free to do that. I'm not going to be in town on Wednesday, but the board feel free to do what they want to do.
He's not going to be able to address the alternate stuff, right? I mean, he's just going to be able to.
Well, I think what he's going to suggest is, because the alternates, as I understand it, don't necessarily have to be done by Chesson. It may be that you could select some of the other bidders if they'll hold their prices on the alternates.
But these alternates are not in the pricing.
Correct. These are all add-ons.
That's a whole different thing.
That's all add-ons.
Yeah, these are all add-ons.
I think we got a text for our email. Didn't you send an email out that Chesham also said that they're willing to negotiate price on that being over budget or something like that?
Yeah, well, yeah, but to negotiate the price will get us into budget.
Well, I'm not talking about for the alternates. Yeah. I'm talking about their $177,000, I think, over budget. Mm-hmm. But they're willing to sit down and talk about that. So.
Yeah.
Was that the glass, or was that
the we think it's primarily the glass, and I don't know if there's other issues, and we would really rely on the architect to do that. It's just, and again, if y'all don't want to meet with him, I'm still going to meet with him on Wednesday to make sure I understand everything. But
I don't know how much we could really do, Scott, other than at some point we do need to address the alternates. I don't know if this is the time to do it, but I mean, there's some important things there. If they can cut the budget, then there has to be some decision about what goes in, right? Space.
Well, and he knows that we've got some, for example, Anthony Rasko is very interested in having the staircase put in to get the access to that mezzanine, as opposed to having his guys use a interior ladder that's just bolted straight to the wall.
Now I need to ask you a question. All right, on these prices, this does not include Albie's oversight, which is 10%, correct?
We've already got that budgeted.
You've already got that built.
Yeah, that was a separate funding from.
Okay.
Yeah, that's already covered.
That's already built.
Yeah, this is just the construction.
Okay. So that's covered.
Yeah.
Okay.
But just to throw out the, if you remember, it had that really neat children's reading loft in the center floor where kids could climb up. There was a platform up above. There's these little nooks and things where they'll have. Places for kids to kind of get in, read their books, plug in their iPad or whatever. The range on that was from $150,000 down to $14,500. I mean, a wide, wide range. And it may be that Chesson's bid was $50,000. So
is that something our maintenance can fill?
Well,
later.
I'd rather have the architect. I mean, if you want something. It really looks nice and has the pop. I think we'd better to have a commercial group do it, but there might be something the architect could tell us. It may also be something that we could seek a sponsorship for if some local business or philanthropic minded person would want to have the Scott Sauer reading loft and make a donation.
That's a great suggestion.
So, and it also may be something we have to push on the library.
Oh, we appreciate you volunteering.
Yeah, yeah. Notice I didn't say memorial. the library has $400,000 that they achieved or received a grant for their furniture, fixtures, and equipment. And maybe they could squeeze part of that in. I don't know. And then there are also some owner-provided costs, and I've got those itemized in the bottom of this thing. We still need to budget for the equipment and furniture for the cooperative extension. The kitchen equipment is close to $30,000, and the rest is for furniture. And then we've got the data wiring. The building's going to have all the conduit. But it's going to have the pull strings in it, but in terms of doing the wiring and the termination points, that's on the owner. So we'll be looking to budget for that in this coming fiscal year.
I don't know how far Billy Barrow got with KB Reynolds. I mentioned it at Vivian Saunders' thing when, what's his name?
Adam.
Adam was there, about supplying the kitchen stuff for...
And Billy may have followed up on that. I don't know. I know he's been.
Yeah, I've talked to Billy, and Billy had reached out to him also. So I told him, I said, well, I mentioned it. So, I'll try to break the ground for you. But I don't know. Hopefully, they'll come through for us.
I'm sure he's going to try to have something for us.
Hi, Cliff.
Hello, Connor.
We want Mike. Come on in.
I was going to say, Peggy, you're looking a little rough.
Yeah.
You didn't shave this morning,
baby. No.
Looks like, Scott, if you're going to be there for the meeting on Wednesday, if we, as much give as we can give from Chesson and nail them, that gives us a little better idea, where we stand. then we can prioritize, if or how many of these things we can move into that space. But
we'll be working to put a contract in front of the board early June. If we can't make it the first Monday in June, we'll have it at a special meeting. But I know that the legal folks are already looking at that. We've given them a boilerplate, but the construction firm's going to have to provide a surety bond and all their workers' comp coverage and liability coverage to plug in. But Jonathan has indicated he's working on that. But we hope to be able to give them a notice to proceed mid-June, if possible.
And we don't know any additional sources or potential grants and that kind of thing. Can you help us with this?
Well, not at the moment.
Nothing around the resilience dollars, and since this was destroyed and that kind of thing.
Haven't seen anything. But again, we've got a year to work on that.
Megan, any other questions on that?
But the architects are very, very positive. I mean, they felt pleased. We had four general contractors make proposals, and we're looking to get it done.
Okay.
We have.
Just while he's doing that, we are starting the whole process with the airport. We started pre-bids with last week, and bid is June 6th. So we're starting that process. So hopefully we'll have some variety. But I hope our numbers aren't as high. We don't have that kind of money.
I'm ready. Tested
one. While we get this, Scott, I'd like the whole board to know that the Windsor Township Development Corporation is not going to be audited by Jeff Best. It should not have even been required in the first place, at least our consensus is, Scott's and William and others, so that's off the table.
Who say?
He did. He called the LGC and said, wouldn't it be nice?
Well, wouldn't it be nice to go back to somebody else?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I heard what I said last time.
Yeah. Right.
And it didn't, it didn't pass the test. I mean, he knew it didn't pass the test.
That's a dangerous person.
It is. We'll work on our part, too, and we'll work on that.
We are told by the auditor that this document will be forwarded to the LGC today. It takes their quick review and approval before the auditor is comfortable bringing it officially to the commissioners, but we don't anticipate there will be any changes. But we just wanted to get this in front of you. There were no findings, no inconsistencies, no material weaknesses that were noted in the report. One of the questions that's always interesting is what happens with fund balance. And if you look at pages 7 and 8, when you open it up, our general fund balance has decreased $319,000. In the year that, and this is for 18, that ended June, almost a year ago, June 30, 18, the county had budgeted $2 million in appropriated fund balance, but only spent $319,000 of it to get through the year. So I'll say that, and again, that's kind of been our tradition. We budget the money, worst case scenario, but then we only use a portion of it. On the left-hand side on page 7, we have a list of some of the uses of the fund balance going back several years. And we mentioned this in February. The courthouse was $36,000, all the different pieces, starting with the ramjack. So you spent roughly, well, you spent less than $1 million to do the work on the courthouse. When you work in the county's contribution for the jail renovations, the old county building that was cooperative extension that's now been flooded, the $251,000 for the sheriff's office, and $150,000 of that was what the county paid to the schools for the land and the building. We had $1.6 million in capital funds that were used from the fund balance going back to about FY14. So as you look back historically where fund balance ebbs and flows and goes up and down, we can put our fingers on the fact that we used $1.6 million for all of those capital projects. And I dare say, had we not handled the courthouse renovations on a pay-as-you-go basis, we probably would have spent more than double that for the things that the board was able to accomplish. The state every year publishes a report showing what the county's available fund balance is available for appropriation, and using their worksheet, our available fund balance is over $4 million for appropriation, and it's about 19%. Now, our unassigned money that is just, that's what they call it, unassigned, that number is now down to about $1.7 million. And we've been running that real thin, especially in the flood recovery. You know, we still have money for the EMS project that's not come back in. You know, the county has fronted the money for the Commerce grant of $300,000, fronted the money for the FEMA reimbursement. We are making an application for that, but we are definitely managing and working through all of those reimbursements.
How much total money we have out there that we're supposed to be reimbursed that you think, just off the top of your head? If you get a chance, Wade, you can make a list for the county commissioner so we know we have not been reimbursed as of yet.
I'm going to guess it's over $1 million, Brad.
Can you make us a list of what those departments are and where they came, what the money is, and where it's supposed to come from, so we have an understanding of that also?
And my question, follow-up to that, is how are you then treating that into this year's budget? Those funds, the money that has not come back? It's $1 million. Are you counting that, yes, we will receive that?
Yes, yes.
You're counting
and
it
in
all?
Fact, will you be able to have a payment of receivables? Eventually,
but will it be this year? Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, it's like I said before, as long as it's taken us to get anything from these guys.
Page 30.
If you'll take a glance at page 29, the fourth line down on the right-hand side, when we closed out at June 30, we had receivables of $2.2 million. And that's consistent with the receivables we've had over the last 4 or 5 years. And some of those receivables are sales tax, because they come in 3 months in the rears. Same thing with EMS, about 3 months in the rears. But then there are also other receivables like the grants and things. So that's how we account for that on the bill.
You're talking about that where it's a stabilization for state statutes?
No, I'm talking fourth from, well, yeah, it's basically the same.
It's the same thing.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I thought.
2.2, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we are expecting to get another $1 million in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on top of that?
Yes.
Okay. If you can make a list of who those departments are and all that kind of stuff,
okay,
where it's supposed to come from, so that we have a written copy of that?
Okay.
Everybody?
Sometime in our lifetime we're supposed to get it. Maybe in our lifetime.
No, I think it'll come. It's just all of this stuff has a lag period. Another lag period we have right now is with the changes they're making in Medicaid. The state is getting more and more tough with the release of funds, primarily for the EMS program. They've gotten very strict on their physician signatures on transports. And you know, those funds, we know are coming, we know are valid, but that is a becoming a slower and slower process.
So again, I just want to make sure I hear you right, Scott. So that outstanding $1 million plus, you are putting that in as a that is in the new budget as a revenue expected piece.
No, that would not be in the budget, because we would only show it as revenue if we were looking to spend it again. I mean, that's just money that's due back to the county as reimbursement.
You don't have it in there at all, correct?
Correct.
So what is it? Because we haven't received it.
Correct.
So when it comes in, where does it go?
This is what gets kind of tricky. We have revenue and expenses that's in our budget.
Right.
Then you have cash.
Okay.
We're talking about the cash right now. We have not got the cash in to offset the revenue we expected, but it's accounts payable, accounts receivable that we think will come in. Well, that's going to finally come in to replace the budgeted amount of revenue we expected to receive that offsets the expenses we were planning on spending.
I think I get that, William. So where does, when that money comes in the new year, it goes into the cash balance?
It
goes into the cash, but that's not, cash and budget are two different animals.
Yeah.
The budget, we'll do accounts receivable. Let's say, well, we're going to get this money in the future, and that offsets your budgeting process. But the actual cash, you will not have it in the bank until you physically get the money.
So, right, and I'm not worried about the cash. I'm worried about where we're counting that receivable.
It will be in the budget that we're working on right now.
Okay, so, again, I misstated my question. You are counting all of that million in the receivables in the budget,
right,
in the new budget.
Yeah, and that's where you're trying to point out the fact that our cash on hand is dropping because we haven't gotten it in
yet.
And that's the biggest point I think he's trying to make, is that we've been spending some money we haven't recouped yet.
Yeah. And we got $1 million out there that will be going back in on top of that number we have right now.
On the cash,
that's
yes.
In this
audit.
Mm-hmm.
On the cash.
I know. Yeah. That's one. I already know that part. Mm-hmm. I get that part. I just want to make sure that's where it's going.
Yeah, but budget-wise, it's basically spoken for and offset by the expenses.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just an extra million.
But I just want to make sure all of it's going in, not 80% of it, 75% of it.
But it's still,
to get all of it's going in.
Okay. Have we already filled all the paperwork out to get these reimbursements? Everything's done on that, William?
Not all of it, a majority of it, and some of it's still outstanding.
Okay, if you would, when you fill out that paperwork for us as far as where the money's coming from, what has paperwork been done on, what has paperwork not been done on?
Surprises in this at all, right? And that 319 or 316 is pretty much what was expected going into this year. What was that deficit?
Well, that's what we that's what we experienced June 30 of 18.
Right. Yeah. So that has not negatively affected this.
Correct.
New year audit in any way.
Yeah, this year we will use fund balance again as we're waiting for those reimbursements. So. It's a cash flow management. OPEB, we talked a lot about all the actuarial studies, and I guess the best place to try to, last year's OPEB liability was over $5 million for the county, the long-term liability. This year, under the new accounting standards that were put in, our OPEB liability is over $14 million. So we show on the books an extra $9 million liability, long-term liability.
And that's due to retirements and things of that nature?
It's primarily due to, well, retirements, but it's our health insurance.
No, I get all that. That's
but it's due to people that retire.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. What would have been if we didn't have the offset that we put in there as far as the amount of money?
The offset's not really going to make a difference until longer down the road. I mean, we're trying to buy down chunks of that. Like in this last year's audit, the county spent $421,000 on retiree health insurance. That was a huge chunk of change. That was cash that went out to pay for health insurance for retirees. We think it'll be down a little bit this year because the list changes year by year because people age out, become Medicaid eligible or Medicare eligible, and then come off our list. We hope that those actuarial forecasts are very, very conservative and not going to be realistically, but they're now applying this same set of accounting records or regulations for every single local government, for the state. And we knew it was going to be bad. We didn't know how bad, but...
How does that affect our ability to borrow in terms of cost of money to us? Because that's where it comes into play. It is what it is on the paper, but does it affect that? Or is that taken into consideration?
And I don't know the answer to that, to tell you the truth. At some point it will. I mean, I don't know that we're in a position where we're going to be looking to, you know, build a new school or anything like that anytime soon, but that's going to be something that everybody's going to look at.
Well, it's going to affect every county. Mm-hmm.
And cities. Mm-hmm. I forget what the number was for the ABC board, but they've got one employee, and they got hit with a tremendous long-term liability that just didn't seem reasonable. Jeff will probably spend a lot of time talking about that when he gets here. And I don't know when Jeff's going to get here. I tried to get him here for this meeting. I begged him to try to get here for this meeting. I'm going to be real concerned if on the same night I'm presenting the budget, we're also getting last year's audit. And it may be he's not ready by then. It may be that it comes in after I present next year's budget. And I know we had some strong issues with Jeff last year. And
yes, we did.
And I'm thinking this is the year to pull the trigger and look for a different auditor. And it's going to be a rat race to try to find somebody that can come in as early. They usually come in July to start on the DSS portion of the budget.
Because we're not the only one having trouble.
That guy that did the audit for the school, mm-hmm. that CPA firm that did the audit for the school, mm-hmm. they do this. I mean, they seem pretty tight. Mm-hmm.
We've got an RFP prepared. You all are ready to put it out,
Do we want to make a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to have that on the record. If Jeff or anybody asks, I can say I had a hopefully unanimous vote that this is where we need to move post haste. But William has been talking with the LGC. They've given him the boilerplate for the RFP language, and we're ready to go if y'all are ready to go.
I hear a motion. Go ahead.
Yeah, I make the motion we submit the RFP for a new auditor.
Second.
Okay.
There is no discussion, I'm sure. All in favor?
Aye.
Well, you guys are moving us right along. We might be able to finish the budget today. Special appropriations. I'd like you all to be able to see what the requests are for special appropriations. And William, and if you want just the short version, William's just
give us 10 minutes. We'll be
William,
this
book. William's got this scorecard.
Nobody says
we'll
stick it to the Bible.
Did you have
a paragraph
from the
safe?
I did. Yes, they got it to us right away.
She's had some illness.
And the special appropriations is really a catch-all that has things from the school, current expense and capital, the community college, all the way down to your smaller contributions to the Highway 17 Fund, to the Arts Council, to the Chamber, and everything in between. I know the Vice Chairman and I had a discussion about the Hope Plantation because he had been approached by somebody that said we hadn't been giving them money in a few years. The county has been giving them money, but they've asked for an additional one-time $10,000 contribution for a roof. I think the roof's about $80,000. And
yeah, Scott, I don't know how they got confused, but all of us on the board at Hope, and I am, and so is Jody Ray, are aware, very aware, that the you know, we have funded Hope. So I don't know where.
Yeah, I don't remember who it was that.
I mean, somebody didn't know what they were saying. But we're very aware, but that was a one-time.
There was a year or two there, probably before you, it would have been before you were here, that they had some conflict and they didn't.
They've always been funded.
As long as we've been here, they've been funded. I don't know.
In 2013, there was already a funding line for them.
So I mean, I've never heard that any of the board.
Because actually, what John had told me about it, actually, when he was here,
I can tell you this. In 2013, they had to make the first payment to the school. I think it was cut by $5,000. And then the next year, it was re-put back in.
Exactly.
Okay? Because we had to make that first payment to school. We had to get the reimbursement back from the federal government.
And Hope, like everybody else, it's struggling. And they are, you know, whether we consider it or not, but it is a one-time request that they have for that group. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to do it some kind of way.
Of course, the biggest item in there is the school system. I shared with the board about a month ago the draft budget from the schools, and they're asking for about $150,000 more in current expense and another $75,000 or so extra in capital. Dr. Edmonds is scheduled to be here on June 3rd to present her budget. We tried to get her here for the May budget. By statute, the Board of Education is supposed to present their budget by May 15th to the county, but you know, they've missed that. And of course, they've had a lot of things to deal with.
Everybody aware that she's leaving, correct?
When is her first day in classification?
No, she has accepted. She is
July 1.
And with that, is she taking their finance officer with her?
You know, I don't know, and that's another tricky thing is that
I think she is not retiring, she's taking another job.
The superintendent.
So many leaving.
You tell me, who are you talking about?
Finance.
That's a guy.
Well, no, but he's not.
He's staying?
Well, as I know, because he just got here.
Yeah, but typically
he's been here for the whole last year. I mean, the whole 9 yards.
But the statutes are set up to where the superintendent has kind of free reign as to who the finance officer is. So if they were to bring in a new person as superintendent, they could make a change. I know there was some concern last time, and they kept Lisa, and I hope now they keep Mr. Harrell, because he's been.
Well, what I'm asking is she taking him to pass the
tank? I don't know.
Also?
I have not spoken.
Lisa left after the other superintendent left, basically. Okay, so.
It would be a shame if they lost him.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think he's going with her, but I believe that he's taking another job, and I don't think it's with the school.
Can you inquire a little?
I'm positive. Because I had not heard anything.
That's something that would be very
I'm supposed to meet with her Friday morning this week.
That was something, wasn't it?
But for me,
I think it's a shame that we have to read about it in the paper.
I'm thinking we give what we gave last year and let the new incoming superintendent.
Well, I really wanted some guidance on that because
I agree with
that.
You're having a change in leadership, and also their student population is still on a downward trend.
I think they went under 2,100. It's 2,000 or something from 24 something or 23 something that had based that.
Yeah, they're at 20. Their next year's estimate is 2,111, and this year was 2,209.
Okay. Chairman, in y'all's meeting, did she give you any indication of what the extra money was going for?
No, she did not. Mainly capital, when she was talking about capital, different aging schools, this, that, and the other, but. Again, there was no specifics. We didn't talk about
no
specifics.
Supplements.
Didn't talk about any specifics. Board
yeah, nothing for supplements.
Reviewed it.
In your book is the pie charts that the school system gave us as a first draft of their budget, so you can see their projected allocations. But
again, that meeting was held, and it was just her and the finance guy there for the meeting. Lasted about 45 minutes, and the rest. The other board members on her side got there about, what would you say, 30 minutes late?
Well, the vice chairman I know got there about 30. I think their chair was there pretty close to, maybe, but at some point we had both the chair and vice chair in the meeting.
So it wasn't any discussion within lunch. No.
But if the board is comfortable, I've been thinking about just recommending next year's allocation as the same as this year, as you suggested. But on the capital, I'm curious to get some thoughts. When the school debt was put together, the formula for the new high school, there was a forecast made that the county would provide a flat $375,000 every year. And again, that wasn't a commitment, that wasn't a promise, it's not an obligation, but they used that for budgeting purposes. And that's a pretty generous amount.
We upped it last year. Last year for $475,000.
You did, because they said they wanted to do some technology, or excuse me, some security changes. So the board kicked in an extra $100,000. I was, quite frankly, thinking about going back to the $375,000, but I just wanted to throw that out for some feedback, because $375,000 is still a big number for a small system with just 2,200 students or 2,100 students.
And did she say anything about where their, the likelihood of where their budget is going to end, because they are in the black? So are they going to carry forward more than they thought?
We did not have that discussion, and they didn't offer it. And again, that'd be a good question for the superintendent when she presents. And
I want to know where they're going to end.
I think that those are questions that we all need to ask once they get here in front of us, since we didn't have a full staff here.
But again, for my work for the next 10 days, as I'm putting the budget together, I'm thinking about putting in a flat contribution on the current expense at the $3,003,000, I think the number is. And then $375,000 for capital.
Well, $3,027,000 would have went to.
Okay, that's right. $3,027,000.
$3,027,000 was their increase from last year, which was nothing hardly. And then the $100,000 on capital. But you're thinking about going back to capital is $375,000, mm-hmm. correct? And the $327,000.
That's what I'd like to do for starters. And again, if they make a convincing justification that they need more, then that can be worked through.
He's talking top of my head, advising them. $30,000 for routine coding on every school.
You'll note we've got the community college figures in there, and again, you can find it easier on William's summary sheet, but all the details in your book. The board has been, I'd say, fairly supportive and generous with the community colleges the last couple of years. Roanoke Community College has been fairly consistent at 55. They're asking for $10,000 more in their current expense and $35,000 toward capital.
My question, what was it, last year, before last, they received
$40,000 for
from
a roof.
Connect from the state.
Oh, that was like $5 million.
Right, so how do you keep going higher? What did they do with that?
And again, when
they're in the process of doing all those rehabs and all that kind of stuff, but they ran into asbestos all over the place, ceiling tile with asbestos in it. So that's where it's at right now. And no, they haven't done it all. They haven't done even portions. They're just now getting to the point where an architect has engineering firms and architects have given them some ideas of what can and can't be done, okay? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say? So that money has not been spent that I know of as of yet.
Well, yeah, they don't need our money. Right. Spend right. Your exactly. Money first, and then come ask. Yeah.
Don't quote me on that, because I've only been there for 4 months, okay? They may have spent some, okay? But
yeah, but we don't need anybody putting our money in the bank right now, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and not that I like to play the rumor mill game, but just like with the superintendent, we've been hearing rumors that she might be leaving. I mean, if you believe the rumor mill, there's a chance there's a leadership change at the community college. But again,
again.
Well, there may be one at Martin as well, because he is on suspension, and we have a new interim has been assigned by the state. Now, we were hoping that, you know, that's an ugly situation. I don't know if you guys know about it, but I'll be sworn in tomorrow.
I just read about the portion where you were suspended. The other guy, yeah. Vice, was suspended too, but I don't know what it was about.
I am going to their budget meeting tomorrow. So I will see their budget firsthand tomorrow. But the situation around their leadership is very shaky.
Is Mike
such a nice guy? I think a lot of people like him. I'd be surprised if he does go. But
now, he's going to be. Let me ask you a question. Right. Under Roanoke Chaw Community College, you got 55, then you got 65, then underneath you got 35.
That far right-hand column is what they have requested.
The 35.
Yes.
Okay. I know we gave him 40 last year for.
Actually, it was 18. Yeah, if you go all the way across that line, it was FY18.
40 was back in 18.
Yeah.
40 was 2018.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. We gave him 40.
We didn't do anything last year.
18.
Though.
We did nothing last year.
Okay. All right.
When will we know the final results of RV Bio? I mean, what is going to actually cost us?
We'll have those numbers in 12 months or less, because those values will be set effective January 1 of 2020.
Now, did anybody read Hereford Counties? It was in the newspaper. Did you read Hereford Counties? Mm-hmm. Okay, now, I'm going to quote pretty much. They lost $200,000 in revenue, mm-hmm. Okay, from their rebound.
Not as bad as some of the other
guys. $200,000 a lot, but again, yeah. Then, if I read it correctly, did it say that they had to pull $1 million out of fund balance to cut? There was something there.
They may have. I don't recall.
Okay. And I forget what else it was.
Some counties have been worse.
If you get a chance, pull it up on the News Herald and just read the article on it, and it tells you point specific where they. I pull it up on the phone and read it. But I do know they lost $200,000 in rebound cash coming in because property values dropped.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a struggle statewide, and particularly in the eastern counties where the flood impacts were. I don't know that Hertford had that much impact, but because it's really a market-driven exercise.
So, not so much a concern for this budget here. I was thinking it would affect this budget year more than what.
No, the reval will be next year. But that's a good question, because it leads into why I've got some other stuff on the desk for you about tax rate. I mean, we may need to talk about whether or not a tax increase is appropriate for this coming year. As we discussed with the discussion on the adjustments for the base pay for the sheriff's office, that could be a $300,000 change for next year. Again, that's assuming the positions get filled, and I don't know that we've even filled the first one yet. Again, that was like a worst case scenario. We know that our retirement contribution is going up just over $100,000, and it's going to go up, I think it's 105 for the next 3 years in a row. And maybe we can avoid a tax increase. It's just, if everything were to happen that we think could happen, it could look pretty tough. But this.
Do we want to do a small one this year, knowing that we'll probably have to do one the following year for a rebound?
It's kind of hard, Scott, to talk about whether we need to do an increase in the back end when we haven't even seen
the budget yet.
Right. I wouldn't even want to get into that.
It's just thought process, that's all, because you know, it could be out there looming. So, that's the deal.
It's just, this board's worked real hard to keep the tax rate down, and y'all even cut it a few years ago. By a penny.
Yeah.
Are you looking at giving any raises to the rest of the county employees?
I'd like to, but it's too early. I mean, like I said, I've got 10 days to go, and it's going to be
an let me ask you this, Scott. I know you, and I know you do great work, but I'm not. But are we going to have it soon enough so that we can
go through it on schedule like the last?
No, but are we going to have enough time if we need to make cuts and make some hard decisions in order to do that? I mean, I just want to make sure we're going to have enough time. I wouldn't want to, you know, come to us and say, oh, it's going to be a 2 cents tax increase, and we don't have enough time to really go through it and say, do we want to do that or do we want to try to cut someplace else?
We have the month of June, and typically we knock it out in just 2 or 3 budget sessions. And, but yeah, my plan is to have it for you by June 1st.
Okay. Everybody so, take notice of the time. It's 9:45. Chris got to go to Superior Court, so his time has been cut off at this point as far as billing, and he will be moving back. Okay.
We could bill another client.
Okay. Exactly. And you do not get any transportation fees at all.
I'm just walking right across the street.
Otherwise, taking short time. But I just want to make sure we do, Scott, have to, you know, figure that in so we really go through this thing. Some people say maybe give a little tease.
Well, again, we're going to do our best to have options for you, but I'd be remiss if I didn't at least raise the topic. And again, we tend to talk in terms of worst case scenario. You know, I was hoping and praying, you know, we'd be able to have positions filled within 2 or 3 weeks, but you know, as the sheriff has schooled me, you know, folks have to get their certifications before they can get a.
Martin County, we went to jail board meeting. Martin County, didn't they say they were down 8?
You mean the sheriff or the jail?
The sheriff's department.
I don't recall what the sheriff's department's down.
I thought he had said something to us because he was like, "Man, you guys gave that raise. Let's make."
You know, he got there early, and then I didn't get it. I was not in the conversation when Tim.
Well, I don't remember either now.
I don't know.
I thought something was said about it because they did make a comment about you guys have made it extremely hard on us to be able to hire anybody now because of what we did for deputies. And
I spoke, and I know Greg worked part-time in the sheriff's department, but I spoke to someone Saturday said it didn't matter what we had paid, he won't come back to our detail.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how Cliff knew what was up next, but I was going to talk a little more about retiree health insurance and legal fees. And I got a color handout. I'll leave one on his desk for him. And the record can reflect that it was distributed at 9:50, so he'll know it was right after.
Have you finished talking about appropriations?
He left.
Kaga is asking for $25,000. That's a big bump.
Correct.
Wow.
And there's a 12-page report in there explaining why.
They always ask.
They always ask. We get our budget and go page by page like we did last time. Because then we look at it and we say, we're not doing it.
Just a couple of things on the health insurance for retirees is what it is, and in 18, the year of the audit, that was the highest year we've had on record, that $431,000. And it has dropped down a little bit this year for 2019. The legal fees, though, are just for information, y'all need to know this. The blue is where you're paying for the time of the attorney to be in the meetings and to do your contract reviews and preparing ordinances. The orange or red, mostly orange, is the tax foreclosures, because when they're doing the tax foreclosure work, they get paid as they do the work right up front. The county doesn't get reimbursed until sometime after that when either the property's sold on the courthouse steps or somebody comes in and writes the check. But we're always putting the cash out for paying for the legal services. You can see in 18, we weren't at 200,000, but we were coming up when you add the two together. And the far right-hand bar is just where we're at through April. And again, this is the system we've used for years, and you just need to be aware of the outflow of cash there.
Other counties have lawyers on staff. Mm-hmm. They have a county attorney rather than someone on contract. And so, and I say this mainly because the ordinance, the road ordinance that we recently passed, there were some things in that road ordinance that the lawyers did not catch to begin with. If we had someone on staff, we would not pay that much. And they would know county law more. That would be their specialty.
I'll go back to what the conversation we had going back probably 3 years, Scott, when you brought it.
Maybe in the first year.
To us,
yeah.
That we could definitely save money if we had an in-house attorney. We even talked about it with Lloyd. Lloyd said, didn't matter to him, they have more work they can do anyway. But the thing I liked about it is, it's we can get a lot faster turnaround on the stuff that we need if we had an attorney in-house. Lloyd would still be there to represent us if we wanted, or his firm, if we needed some special kind of legal something. But I like the speed. We get delayed on a lot of stuff because the legal gets backed up.
I like the idea that they would know county law, but they would be specialized in the county law.
Could you hire an attorney for?
Certainly less than $200,000.
Well, and the foreclosure is a whole different animal. And there are firms that specialize in the foreclosure process that may be able to do it cheaper. I don't know. I think Jody's been approached by a group that does nothing but foreclosure type. And they may do it on a contingency where they don't get paid until the property sells on the courthouse step. It's just we're pushing the money out the cash register for every hour they work related to a foreclosure. But it may be 18 months to 2 years before that particular item comes back to the county with taxes due and legal expenses. I tend to agree that at times, and again, I hate not having Cliff here or anybody here, but at times it is very slow to get responses. And it's just my concern is that when for the fiscal year 18 we put out well over $175,000 a year, I'd like to see stuff turned around quicker. I'd like to think we'd be a priority client, but I don't know that we are. Maybe they've got other clients that pay a whole lot more than this, but I find that hard to believe in a rural community that there can be a sustainable cash flow any stronger than what Bertie County spends.
Just a little clarification on this thing. On the left-hand side of the bottom of the legal, it says April year-to-date, 15.8. But if you look over on the graph, year-to-date is clearly 75,000. So
well, there's two numbers. There's this
year-to-date.
Well, no, just the contracted services is 75,000.
What is Lloyd charging
hour? 200.
Right?
If this graph is right,
well,
blue is 75,000.
Lloyd, I think, is 300. I think the other attorneys are cheaper than that.
250 and 200 is the last figures I saw.
Is that right?
Yeah,
the contracted services here on the graph is 75,000, but the number we have down here is 58.
No, the 58, you have to add the two together. There's two sets of numbers there.
Right.
You have a blue total and a...
Yeah, I do that. But a blue total is 75 here.
That's right. 76, the top section.
And the 58 is the orange section. So you add the two together to get
the... Oh, the 58 is that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
He answered it.
I got you. It's the reverse. I thought that was a blue. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What did somebody pick up on the call about?
Well, if y'all recall the discussion we had with Lloyd, when we talked about hiring a staff attorney, he told us if you get anybody worth their salt, I will hire them away from you. Because if somebody's good and comes to Windsor, North Carolina, they'll come work for me because whatever. I don't know if that's a practical threat or not. But
at the same time, he said he didn't care because he had more business than he could do. So.
It's just, I know they have a very active practice, and I let some things go in earlier budget discussions, but having been through this now 6 years with this group, there are times when it feels like I got a ball and chain that I'm dragging because I can't get stuff.
Let me ask you a question. Quick enough. Maybe an option would be an attorney that has been retired is looking for some part-time work.
Possible.
I mean, is that a viable?
Can you put some fillers out there?
We could, and again, it could be a retired, it could be a young person trying to start out. I mean, there are any number of
school of government, see.
I just think you're going to need somebody with some experience to do some of the things that we're doing anyhow.
I got to get everybody has to have their chance to start somewhere.
Wouldn't you tell them what we're talking about?
The way we're going.
The smaller things.
Well,
I'm very
learned
young, so I could train him.
Yeah, I mean, you could always have him, you know, for the major stuff. The day-to-day stuff is good.
Again, it's just something to think about. The budget's going to be what it is, but it's just how we spend that long term.
Looking for an attorney that specializes in county government would be definitely the way to go. And if we could look for it now so we can see what the budget and compare what we have and if there's any saving. And I think it would be.
If there's any savings,
yeah.
That's not that. I said dollar.
We could pull that for you. It was funny, maybe 3 years ago or longer, we were asked to pull out detailed records of all the. It was Rick Harrell asked for it.
Back when Perry was around.
Yeah, and we made copies of all the stuff, and I don't know that anybody.
Because I think the attorney fees went up. We were right around 140, and we had to increase the budget, and that's what he wanted to pull records to see what they were being paid. Blah blah blah, and then
they had a raise since we've been on the board.
No, I'm talking about the amount of work they were doing.
I think Lloyd's feed has been.
It has.
I think only Lloyd's, but not the other guy.
But Lloyd was wanting to filter himself out, what he told you.
Yeah. Okay?
And the other guys are at 200.
It looks like with his dog feed is less than 5 miles. So you have time. First
Well, getting back on that, it was $147,000 and we needed to bump it. Maybe we only had $100,000 in the budget, we had to bump it. And then it was like $148,000, $150,000, but we had to bump it up to. And that was either 13 or 14, one or the other.
Again, I just wanted to show what the trends are looking like. And a lot of things we can't control when events occur, but I wish for the amount of money we're spending in Bertie County, it felt like more of a priority in terms of responsiveness. A dollar's hard to come by in this community, and $175,000 ought to get us.
Was as high as $200,000 in legal fees.
Yeah, it was $108,000 for the contracted services. And I think our budget was about 60, and we probably used to budget about $40,000 to $50,000. So we went well over budget there.
You got to take into consideration there wasn't much going on before 2013.
Yeah,
okay.
I agree with that.
Okay, not. You don't agree with that? I understand the increase of hours, but like I said, I remember us bumping it up in 14.
And then it's kind of been consistent at that level almost every year after.
That's correct.
Can we take a 5-minute break? Commissioner?
Sure.
And I need to step out too.
Go ahead.
I don't want to miss any conversations.
I wanted to mention to you guys, I put it on your desk, these tax rate comparisons, and particularly the it's not that I'm pushing for a tax increase, but I think at some point we're going to have to figure out a way to balance, because we can't keep doing the things we do and never raise revenue, and especially after we just cut revenue. And Jody has the big worksheet on your desk is a work product that Jody's been helping with, because he got a call from the chairman one day asking how do we compare with other counties. And it really gets complicated.
And the reason I asked that question was because owning properties in different counties, so I'm getting tax cards from different counties. You've got the county tax, okay? And then you've got a fire tax. And then you've got a garbage tax, which is not being included onto your county tax, where we combine everything onto the county land tax. So when you took these numbers and broke them apart, for example, Northampton County's at 94 cents on their county house, on your house, okay? Then they were between 5 and 8 cents, okay, depending on the fire district, okay, for fire tax per 100 for your house, okay? And then at the end of the year, Northampton County was $278 for garbage, okay, that is added onto the tax bill. It's a separate line item, okay? But once you start building all that stuff together, you had Northampton County, it was up around $1.10 per 100, $1.08, somewhere right in there. Once you start dividing all that stuff out, where'd you get that
from? And that's in Washington, the only counties that don't have fire tax.
There it is.
Only one.
Well, my thing is that
only.
Well, our citizens get a real deal when you figure the fire funding is 3 cents, that's rolled in to the general tax rate. The convenience center operation is about $500,000. Mm-hmm. It's probably 4 and a half cents. That's rolled in. So right off the bat, our tax rate is at least 7 to 8 cents higher than it could be if we broke everything out like some of the other communities.
You got Edenton, it's 5 and a half cents per 100. Okay. Chilwell County, I should say, excuse me. Okay. Easily, Bertie County is one of the better counties to live in easily.
But there's some folks that do some interesting things.
What is the sticker fee?
In some counties they have a garbage sticker, and you can't go into the convenience center unless you've got a sticker on your car that says, I'm a resident of that county. Yeah, because otherwise, you know, I could haul my trash across the county line to somebody else's convenience center and eat up their cost and not be a resident. Pitt County has an EMS tax to help support their program. They tack on an extra 4 and a half cents just to operate EMS. And my guess is they're probably making well over $1 million on a penny, when we do about $128,000 on a penny. And see, we absorb all of our cost within our tax rate for EMS, over and above whatever we collect or get as reimbursement. So there are a number of ways to skin this thing. There was one community that even had a hospital tax that they used to support their local hospital. But when you look through county by county, there's some interesting things. There's some that have a recreation tax. I think it was Cumberland County has a 3 and a half cent rural recreation tax. They tax the people that live outside of the cities because they know the people in the rural areas go into the cities and use the county parks in there. So we have all the programs and services rolled into that one.
How do you read this Halifax thing? What is that? That seems weird. Is that a typo? Is that 77 cents?
Well, and Halifax, too, has, I think, three different school systems.
No, but they list here the county rate.
0.077.
It's 77
cents. 77
cents.
Yeah, you made a mistake
there. Which one are you looking at? Halifax. On the county rate, he's got 0.077.
No, the big spreadsheet.
It should be 0.77.
Yeah. Well, the...
He just messed up.
77 cents.
Yeah, they're...
But then they got all the fire rates, too.
Yeah, and then they got the $215 for
solid waste.
Solid waste.
And some special district.
Yeah, but the county schools get an extra.
But you get a hospital rate.
Yeah.
Hospital district, 12 cents. You got Roanoke Rapids school district, 23 cents, 22.5. And Weldon school district's 20 cents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's real frustrating because they've got three superintendents to deal with.
Well, you turn around and you add that in there. You got 20, 22, we'll just say 22, and the 12. That's going to be 36, 37 cents. Onto their 77.
Over well over a dollar.
That's $1.14, isn't it?
It may be that the school taxes are independent, depending on where you live. If you're in the Weldon School District, you pay that tax.
It would be, but it's still going to be added onto your into your.
But you wouldn't pay both
county taxes,
Roanoke and Weldon.
And I don't even know how to divide the solid waste of $215, which puts them at $1.14 plus $215 on top of that, and basically that would probably add another 3 or 4 cents. I'm guessing.
Yeah, that looks like depending on the value.
So you're at $1.17.
Yeah, that's only. Yeah, that's only Halifax.
No, I think. Well, let me tell you.
That's not the whole county.
You said only Halifax, right?
Yeah, that's fire.
Well, Halifax is
the solid waste. No, that's not like the fire department. That's a town, isn't it?
That's. Well, it looks like they've got about 10 fire districts.
Right. That's only the Halifax fire district. It's 215. I don't know why that is. None of them helps
out. And I think that's a misprint on him because it's a solid tub.
And look at the top. There's a $43.32 to the county.
Yeah, I don't know if that's it, though.
Charging a fire rate
is
the individual towns.
No. No, some of them are. Hereford is.
Yeah, the fire
Martin
districts
is,
are levied
North
by the
Hampton is, right. Washington is.
I know Northampton is.
And Edgecombe. It's just us and Washington.
It's not listed that way.
Look at the top number. Tammy Credit Crossword. The county all the way up on the fire tax. That's the county.
Are you looking at Jody's report or the state
report?
Jody's
report.
A lot of hopes right that across the taxes top. That they'll be able to offset the insurance costs, right? If your firefighting capability gets improved before your insurance goes down, mm-hmm. The taxpayer may save money by paying this fire tax.
Because we have some people who, and it all just depends on location, because like at Scotch Hall, they're unrated because they're outside the 6 mile district. So short of putting a substation down there, there's nothing we can do to give them a break.
And in Windsor, they subsidize their fire station. Mm-hmm. That's not on here. People in Windsor are, I don't know how they...
Yeah, it's part of their general fund.
Right.
But again, the report that looks like this is the one that gives you the most detail that I have. Yeah, Jody tried to do just the counties around us, but if you pull and just look through all 100, it's amazing the different scenarios that folks have.
But it's not, it,
but
I guess the point
there
I was
are very
to,
few counties that only do one tax rate.
Yeah, that's the point I was trying to get across, and I wanted Jenna to check that out because I get all these different tax cards from the beach all the way up to here. And there's all these other things on top that are line item over from what the actual property tax is. And we're dealing with just one lump sum fee. That's it. So, in other words, if we broke ours out, I don't know what our county taxes would be per 100, but it'd be 70, it'd be somewhere in the 70-cent range.
Yeah, 70, probably 75.
75, something of that nature, if we broke all of our stuff out.
Well, why don't?
You know, quite frankly, I made that comment to Jody when I had him on the phone. Mm-hmm. I said, why are we not, so everybody has an understanding where your money's going to, okay? Right. And I didn't get a definite answer, but I didn't get an indefinite answer. He goes, well, you know, we got to change a lot of stuff, and this, that. I get that part. But that's a board decision. That's a board thought process. And I think when we start looking at budget, I think that we need to look at that, okay? I brought that up a couple years, three, 4 years back. Why are we just this when all these other counties are doing these other things? So he gives the general public, say, hey, you know, we got you got a top-notch paramedics EMS system, you got a top-notch fire, whatever. I mean, whatever it may be.
Well, I think what he'd tell you is he tries to get the tax bills out July 1st. And in order to make all the changes, it would probably be very, very difficult to get it done for this year. But it's just if we were to have to make a change, this is information that we could use to explain that we are not that far off the mark when you look at everything that's compiled in our aggregate.
I know what it was. When we first got elected in 2012, we took office in 2013, and we went to Kelford, and we had to come up with 12 cents, and the rebounds came up and raised, I don't know, like 5 cents or something of that nature. And then they turned around and they raised taxes 5 cents or 6 cents, I forget which. And somebody made the comment, we're now higher than Northampton County. And I said, no, we're not. There's no way. And this was at a meeting in Kelford, if you remember correctly, because you were on one end, I was on the other end. And I said, no, we're not. There's no way. And I said, this is what their county rate is in Kelford. And this is what their fire tax is in Kelford. And this is what their garbage rate is in Kelford. Not Kelford in Northampton, okay?
We've been talking about this every single year since I've been on this board. And it's time that we start moving on things like this. Because when we first talked about it, it was concerning the fire departments. And whether or not we'd give them more money, right? And look what we've done. Every year, we plug more money in there, right? Out of our general, we had to eat that money out of our budget in order to do that. That doesn't make sense. That's an expense that people can understand, right? That's why people break it out in other counties. So it's not in their general fund. That's what we need to be
able. But you got to give it more thought process, because when you talk about population areas, okay, as far as like Indian Woods, we'll get shorted on that deal. We got to figure out what that rate would be.
And well, the way to do it would be to do one flat rate
for the whole county. I agree with that, okay? That's what I do agree with, okay? You do one flat rate all the way around the circle. Everybody gets the same thing. But again, people were dealing with population areas, and we talked about once before, they didn't want to do it
because of that. The reason we do one is because other areas can do more. Windsor would still do more, what they do. Other areas, if they wanted to do more, they could.
No, I agree.
But we as a county should do one flat and take it out of so people can see what it is. So when people come back and say, oh, we need more in our fire departments, okay, this is where you get it from, not out of general fund.
Well, when we come to budget, we need to start really looking
at that
and start breaking this thing apart. I don't care, even all the way down to garbage, moving it out of the way. You know what I'm saying? Saying this is what it is, what you're paying now, okay?
And people understand it.
Does that make sense?
Say fire taxes, like we do that for the public a lot better than just pay taxes.
People understand it.
But again, that's just used for fire departments. But again, county services have still got to work.
But you're using money that you don't have to use.
You're still going to say that you're still going to have somebody, okay, how much money have you been given already? Well, 3.5 cents, 3-4 cents, okay? Well, that 4 cents needs to go over to that tax rate also. Needs to be moved over to the fire because you already got it plugged in there. So, but we are still, as a county, growing. We're, as a county, still trying to provide services that aren't just fire, not just paramedic. We're providing services that have to do with departments to be here also. You know, people already started talking about, what about pay increases? We're going to do pay increases this year for everybody. Well, we go 3% like we have been doing. Where's that 3% coming from?
But that's the reason we need to break it out and spread it.
I agree.
So citizens can clearly understand it. They're paying for.
I agree. Right? But I'm just saying, you just can't say fire tax and that covers everything. It's going to have to be property. It's the whole nine yards. We keep moving. Where are we at now?
I'll be delivering a budget to you guys probably late Friday night, May the 31st, so that you have it in hand by June 1st. And I'm statutory obliged to have it to you by June 1st. The board meeting will be June 3rd, and then we typically set some dates for board work sessions. And I'd like to see if we can begin blocking those out so we know how to plan. And I hate to pick on old Stuart, but you know, Stuart made it through his whole term, and every year he was in Florida on vacation.
Well, he found out for budget was, he goes, I'm going on vacation that week. I'm sorry to tell you that. I'll pray for y'all when I get there.
The meeting on the 3rd, is that, what time is that meeting?
That would be a 6 o'clock meeting.
6 o'clock meeting.
We could roll right on that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of that week.
I prefer skipping Tuesday.
Okay.
Wednesday. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I prefer skipping Tuesday.
Okay.
Wednesday, yeah. Thursday, Friday?
I may have my grandchildren at the commissioner meeting Monday night, I think.
Not Friday, please.
Thursday. I mean, a lot
that
of
works for me.
Listen, we went through the last 3 years. We've done this. We did it in one day.
Yeah. Okay.
So, how's the? You don't want to do Tuesday, right? How's the 5th look? Wednesday.
I'm clear.
Okay.
I'm clear.
Sorry, 9 o'clock in the morning. 10.
Y'all go have some.
How about 10?
If we hit 9, I guarantee we've got everybody
here.
Y'all be staying at Miss Dan, be stuck all day.
Come on, here.
We'll be smooth. Yeah.
9 o'clock.
We got out of here last time around 1:30.
Okay, all right. Now 1:30.
This is one process.
Could we have a nap?
I don't want to rush. I want to get it right.
You say a nab or a nap?
I want to get this right.
Nab.
Oh, nab.
This is nothing to rush.
So we're saying 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm gonna rush it.
It's tight.
No, I agree, but that's going to be, like I said, he wouldn't be able to get that done this year, is what's going to be planned in the fall.
9 a.m. June 5th.
Yeah. And again, for some reason.
Bring all this stuff up and go directly to him. You know what I'm saying?
What else did you say?
And can we hold the 6th as an alternate, just in case you all come up with some really creative thing that we've got to do calculations overnight?
Sounds good to me.
But we'll only use it if we need it.
Okay.
We had tentatively planned to do the public hearing on the budget on the 10th, mm-hmm. but if that's not good, we can push that to another day.
That would be at 7, not 6.
You said, what date was that?
The 10th, the second Monday.
That's good, the 10th of June, correct?
Yes.
Budget meeting.
The
hearing.
Public hearing.
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
At
7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going 7 o'clock.
And then hopefully we could have it ready for adoption sometime later that week where you all come in for a half hour, review the budget ordinance, and you're done.
Okay, so that's going to put us June 5th, which is a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. To review and go over the budget, and holding June 6th also in line, just in case, and then having the hearing on June 10th. Is that what you said?
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
How much notice you got to give for a hearing?
We've got to publish that. So
I know, but how much notice you got to give them?
10 days.
Well, that's not 10 days, is it? If you go from the 6th, or if we're coming in the 10th to approve it, and then you do it.
As long as I have it to you all by the 1st.
Okay.
Still need a quorum.
And again, we won't adopt it that night, so.
Okay.
I
then what?
Well, then if there aren't too many changes after the public hearing, hopefully we can have documents put together for you all to adopt the ordinance later that week, say Thursday or Friday. Unless you want to wait till the next week, the 17th.
Do we,
it doesn't hurt us to hold it, does it?
Right.
So why not?
No, you got to have the public hearing.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, no, but the next one.
It's just, you don't
want another meeting.
I don't think, you just need to have a date to adopt the ordinance.
Can't we do that in the regular meeting? We got to do it before then.
Well, your regular meeting's the 3rd, so.
Of July.
No, you need to adopt it in June.
That's what I'm saying, before July.
Please don't do that.
You want to just shoot to have it ready for Monday the 17th, and it can be a quick meeting? In and out in the morning, in and out in the afternoon?
What are you talking about? I'm sorry, because I got the tents set already.
That's for the public hearing, to take comment. And then, once you close out the hearing, we'll look to.
Why can't we, if we're going to do the hearing, and the public has to speak, why can't we at that point in time after that, go ahead and vote on the budget?
You mean the same night?
Because if somebody has some real concerns over the budget, it's like we're not, don't even care if we vote on it that same night.
Well, that is the thing, I mean, if. If we go.
Last year, maybe two people showed up, okay?
Well, I'm just saying.
Thank you.
Two people.
Just in case.
One of them is a county employee.
Yeah, but if I end up proposing a tax increase, chances are, y'all will have some people here for the hearing.
Don't scare me.
All right, then.
How about, can we just adopt it on the 17th?
At least make it look like we are concerned with their concerns. Yeah.
Let's do it on the 18th, Tuesday.
Tuesday the 18th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tuesday work for you, Tim? 18?
The 18th.
Yeah.
That's for what?
Adopt budget.
To adopt the ordinance. So would that be 2 o'clock, 6 o'clock, what works?
Yeah, that works.
Which?
Which time?
Early.
Early.
What, do you want morning?
Might as well, get it out of the way.
Yeah, everybody fresh.
Not too morning.
11? How about 11?
11 is fine.
11 on the 18th?
About 10 a.m. 10 a.m.?
11.
11.
11, do 11.
Jesus, I got so many damn things going on in June now.
Well, June's typically not a good month for a commissioner to take a week's vacation.
No, I don't.
Or an anniversary, or anything like that.
I'm just saying that.
I'm going in.
Every week we got a meeting.
I know, I'm going.
Okay.
I guess if no one shows up on the 10th of the public hearing, we could pass it.
What are we doing in July in reference to a commissioner's meeting, because the holiday's rolling out?
I think right now you're set to meet on July 1st.
Okay.
At 6 o'clock.
Unless you want a break.
Does that still work for everybody?
I'm not going anywhere else.
Okay.
You good?
I'm good.
Oh, yes.
So what did we decide in June?
18th for adoption, and the 10th for the hearing.
At 7.
And then the 5th, and possibly the 6th.
Or either the 17th.
Workshop.
So July 1st.
No, nothing on the 17th.
Well, let me mention another.
No, we're adopting on the 18th.
Let me mention another June date. For those that are interested in the proposals for the feasibility study for the jail, Mr. Whitehurst is looking at interviewing the architects on the 12th. It'll be a daytime meeting, and we'd love to have whoever's available to sit in and participate. And I don't know if they've got an exact time, but it'll probably be something like one before lunch, one after lunch.
And that's when, June what?
12th, it's a Wednesday.
Yeah, I'll be here. I'll be on table till 3.
I have another meeting at 10 that morning, but it usually lasts about an hour, so.
And they're going to do them down in Williamston at the Tele Center.
I mean, I'd love to sit in and be a part of it if it works. I hate to miss another meeting.
So what time is the meeting on the 12th?
It's probably around 11. I can double check that. I think they're doing one right before lunch or one right after lunch.
And that's just to get the folks that's going to do the study?
Well, it's just to interview them. I mean, it's not be a decision, it'd be a chance to interview.
And don't forget the 29th.
So what is happening? I mean, what's the progress on the 29th? All right, have we got a
right away?
Well,
if
we can, if we can,
schedule.
If we can jump to that, I mean, I'm happy to. What we have is permission to come across the 300 acres off of Ball Gray Road, but we would handle it like they did the Site X celebration, where we wouldn't have people drive their personal cars. We'd shuttle them with the recreation vans.
Is there some place for them to park?
We'd have to park them along Ball Gray Road somehow. And maybe use the same sort of setup like they did for Site X. There were a couple of clear spots there.
And we're going to start at 10?
Well, on the second page of your long agenda sheet there, we had some proposed hours of 11 to 2, but if you want to make them different, I think this was a list that Donna put together, not knowing.
I think the earlier the better because
the heat.
Hot.
Okay. Okay.
That's true.
It's going to be
make
hot.
Sure you need fire for those in tents.
Only if they're over 1,800 square feet.
They will be.
Okay. How big a tent would you like us to have? So how early would we like to start?
Nice part.
No. On the
29th. We can start with a morning dip at 7 o'clock. Because it will be warm. The water will be like bubble bath water.
Yeah,
it
will.
You know,
we tend to go in the heater today, 11 to
2. It'll probably be green at that point. But
no. We're going to be out there.
Started early last year.
Go back to your parking again, Scott. On Valkyrie Road, you're going to park?
Mm-hmm.
Where? In the place where you parked before?
Most likely, because we're going to shuttle the people in across the 300 acres.
I think starting 9.
And we're going to use vans to bring them in.
Right, I understand the van park, but so you say park where the Coastal Land Trust parked last time?
I think so. I mean, those details haven't yet. We're going to have to park somewhere on Ball Gray Road.
You know, I'm thinking of my second house late night, cause that much to go ahead and walk a small parking area out here on our land close to us. We're gonna need one anyway.
Could be
a few loads of rock, a few loads of sand.
Well, I really need a couple of extra hands on this project to help with logistics. If y'all wanna. I mean, we could do that.
I mean, I like the idea of having it, but it'd be nice to have it after we get where the parking area is there already and where everything's straight. So, because now they're going to feel like they can come and go and use the facilities, and we're not ready for them to use the facilities.
But the thought behind this was to just show the citizens what we have.
I understand.
Because some are saying, you bought that property, you ain't doing nothing with it. So we got to let them catch the visual.
Right. But you can show it to them, but right now it's locked off. You still can lock it off.
Keep the gate locked.
And because you got a farmer in the field anyway.
That's what we get them a four take.
What do you need done? I mean, what do you need done?
Everything.
Well, I just want to get, we've got a list of things that we'd like. Yes. We want to set the hours. We want to plan for the hours.
Okay, do we want to say from 9 to 2, 10 to 2, or what do we want to do, or all day?
Well,
the earlier the better for them.
Well, you're right, there.
10 to 1.
Sunrise is about 5.
No, thank you, Scott.
There's nothing like being out there
you'll
to watch
the
sun come up over the water. So 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock?
I think you could do 9 o'clock easy.
Yeah, I think 9 is.
And how late should we run?
To noon.
We're going to feed them at least noon.
Noon. We feed at noon. We can do all
feed them a little. Turn them loose.
The only thing I'm concerned about, the heat.
That's why you
want to
go early.
That's me.
That's
the hottest point of the day.
What if they had the tents set up, fans in there, the big
electric.
9 to 12. 9 to 12.
Better.
2 o'clock the heat of the day.
But you know, once they get out in the water, the heat won't bother you.
Are we maybe removing something. The cars before we
No. Let
them go in that water?
No.
I think it'd be more.
We're going to direct them the other way. I mean, the cars are up to the left.
Okay.
And we don't know what else might wash up in between now and then. I mean, it's an ocean.
Yeah. But we know about the cars.
Yeah. We'll definitely keep them corralled away from the cars. So, how extravagant do you want to go on food? Hot dogs, chicken, barbecue, popcorn? Just hot dogs and
drinks? Like hot dogs. I think you need to gear this to where you can kind of cook it as it goes, because it's hard to anticipate what you do with it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to do a whole pile of food right there.
Okay.
If you have something like hot dogs, you can kind of cook them as you saw what you were going to need.
Okay. And y'all are comfortable with tents? It gives people some shade?
What size are
they? Yeah.
Oh, that's for sure.
They're going to be big. She was asking what size for the tent. They'll be big. They'll be fire rated with fire permits.
Exactly.
We will have porta-johns.
Yeah, you'll get a few of those out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At least a couple. One for.
Is there a place where I can run?
You need a man.
That doesn't hurt.
Parking lot? I can't get my mouth out there.
I'd really have to get the map out to show you.
Can you, your first year saying, I asked you, are we going to park where we parked for the Coastal Lanterns? That's past where we are. That's past on another entrance, which is all a good little ways. You can't park on Balgrave Road. There's no curb.
I should probably get the map, because we're looking to use the logging road that cuts across the 300 acres.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long ways down from our road, closer to where they did the parking.
I don't know that.
Yeah.
If you think it's close enough, I mean, there's a church close too that you could do from the church, but you know, I don't know if you want to do that.
You're banning people in. That would probably, that might be one of the safer bets, church that he's talking about. And ban people from the church. At least they have a solid parking.
Yeah, but you got to cross.
You got to cross
four lanes of traffic there too. Well, again, we're trying to work on that. We don't have to fix that all today. I just wanted.
If the weather's been nice, I mean, you could use the same parking that they did for Side X and bus that way.
But yeah, road. I mean, I don't know that road.
Why are we using that road?
Because our road is not safe. For it's just it's mucky and. Without making some improvements to that road, it just wouldn't be good. We're trying to use a road where you could have two vehicles cross one another. If something happened, you had to get a vehicle in there. Steve and Donna have been.
Need to make sure we have EMS on
doing
site.
We would.
Whatever, yeah.
And basically, I want to confirm y'all are ready to pull the trigger, because if we're going to do June 29th, I've got people working on a list. So we will have hot dogs, we will have tents, we will have porta-johns. If we need any temporary fencing to keep people away from the cliffs or away from the cars.
You're going to need that.
We'll have something set up where the commissioners can talk and greet. And
how we're going to advertise.
But what are the hours again? Because we never sell anything.
9 to 12.
9 to 12? 9 to 12.
Mm-hmm. 9 to 12.
How about
9
to 1? Because you're going to eat 12.
Right, but.
I mean, give them a little time now. Give them a little time to enjoy. Because I know some people will not be there at 9. But I'm not talking about me this time.
I thought it was 9 to 12 for the viewing, and then start lunch at 12.
Okay.
Can we do the commissioner's comments or whatever first, though?
Sure.
I'm going to have to get out of Dodge.
Is this like a float-in? Because...
Yeah.
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 So really, as far as trying to stationize comments from all the commissioners, it's going to be kind of difficult. You've got people coming and going all the time.
Well, then if I could just
I think if we're just mingling with everybody, that's more.
We can do that.
Let's just mingle with everybody and carry conversations at that point.
My son is going to be an all-star. His all-star game is
that. That gives you a chance to break away. So,
yeah.
You should.
The question was about advertising. We haven't worked that out. We'll certainly do things on social media. But if we need to run something in the paper or...
I think something really nice in the paper would be a good
idea. Paper, social media, and our robocall.
Okay. I swear to God,
it's robocall is probably the best one.
Yeah, you might even do it twice.
Facebook.
Yeah,
you might even do it twice. Mm-hmm.
If Sarah put it on our Facebook, then all of us can share it. Mm-hmm. And we reach out to a whole lot of folks on our Facebook.
Robocall really works. Yeah, you can do it twice. You can do it twice. Early, by the beginning of the week, and then right before, the day before.
Now, if people come and they're really having a good time, would we let them stay past 1 o'clock and enjoy
it? I wouldn't run them away.
No, yeah.
No, that.
I mean, and we could say an absolute of nobody can stay past 4 that wants transportation back to
the day. Right, exactly.
Because I do think there might be some folks that,
and you got
because
parks
it's a rolling
and you got Parks and Rec going to be out there so they can manage that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll be running the vehicles.
Special invitations.
Do you all want to try to come up with our project name between now and then, or just continue calling it Tall Glass of Water with the understanding that we will be developing?
I don't know. I sent Scott, I don't know if you got my email.
Yeah, the BBX thing.
Yeah. I was looking for some cards to give as a birthday presents over the weekend and came across some stickers that had been produced, and I had several of them, and it said BBX. So somebody has already gotten
that.
That
was Rotary and the Chamber.
Pound Sound, I thought, is what that was for.
Was it? I don't remember where I got it.
Said
handled.
That was handled.
So well, I don't know where they came from.
Uh-huh.
That's not trademarked, so we can still use it if the board wanted to use it.
You better check on that, because I thought that was something bigger than Pound the Sound. I thought that something
remember.
Had to do with the inner banks.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
Well, again, it may be that could still be part of the marketing of Berkeley County, but we may come up with a special, unique name for our waterfront recreation area. But just in terms of how we market it for June 29th, do you want us to try to work up that name?
Well, I thought we didn't settle on something Cliffs, Bertie Beach or something.
Well, we had a whole bunch of them out there. I mean, are you all ready to have those put in front of you and try to make a selection here shortly?
If we ain't got time, you can always email us all the stuff.
Yeah, we can get that out. I know there's some.
Send back what we think, and that's it.
Because if we can get that done early this month, that'd be great.
Just do the email on that.
Okay. Any special invitations you want to go out to?
Legislators. Yeah, legislators. Says they sound the...
I think the trust people.
Yeah, the trust folks.
State senators, House representatives,
rural partners, things like that. Well, not rural partners, but African Sound folks.
And of course, the press.
The mayors.
Yeah, all the town.
And potential sponsors.
All the whole county, individuals.
Sponsors, potential sponsors, businesses.
Wouldn't it be cool to get a picture of all the elected officials standing out in the water, because the water's so shallow. We need to show...
My
by feeding that water. I'm not giving them that water.
That water's clear. That water's clear.
You can see it in there. Oh, no.
It's clear. You can go out at least 20 feet and still see your toes. Especially if it's got bright.
Not much at all.
I think that's a great idea.
I think it'd be in the water.
And then I can say, then I can say, I'm baptizing
Ron. We need to be in the water. I would.
That water would start smoking.
You got some nice, could bring the boats. You got some nice floats.
You'll never drown me, I did.
All five of you on those floating armchair floats.
I think we could do some pretty neat stuff.
Well, let's do some neat stuff.
Let's
make it one to remember.
Just remember that you can't get your boat too close. It's so shallow. I mean, depending on
You can get in with 150 yards of the place.
Yeah.
I mean, you get in maybe a little bit closer than that, depending on where you trim up. Yeah. Just throw an anchor out and then walk up on the beach.
Or swim.
Do some jet skis.
Do the butterfly.
Jet ski.
I don't know much about butterfly.
Jet ski.
I've got a message from John Ed. You know, he's been working with that group with the what do they call it, the First Colony Foundation. They're out doing digs in different places, and they would very much like to do some digging on the Tall Glass of Water site. And I told him I wanted to run that by the board. I'd want to approve that without y'all knowing it. I'm always a little nervous about any kind of historical thing that what happens if they come up and say that there's a special cemetery.
What happens? That happens to be the site that they do find the bones that they're looking for to say, hey,
this
they were
it.
Here.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what kind of money would come in to support this cause?
Yeah.
I get it.
Lord bless us.
So
I say do it.
So it's a go?
Yeah,
I think so, because I think it'd be more pluses than the minuses to
it. Let me text him real quick, because I think they're out there.
Because I'll be honest with you, the other thing too, it also gives great publicity that now they're digging on the piece of property that we invested on, that could be
value. Extra value.
Yeah, there'll be another feather in our hat. I had the freedom to get up and stand today. Always
I don't handle that fish.
Well, this is good because we're covering a lot of our afternoon items. I don't know if there's any new information on the teacher housing since we're still waiting on the legislation.
Talk to Steve. He was going to talk to Steinberg over the weekend to see if he would agree to kind of put, it's sitting there, Scott, it's just sitting. But somebody's got to push it up for a vote. And he was going to ask Steinberg, since he's the senator, would he do it? So I don't know. I was going to see him Saturday or Sunday. Said he'd ask. But without that, somebody's got to push it. I mean, this, the bill is just sitting there. They swear that if it comes up, it'll pass. But we got to get somebody to push it. But I did let Southern know, Scott Southern, that we did pass the House part, and he was encouraged because I know they're coming up for budget time too, and I don't want them to snatch our money.
So really, no move.
We were thinking hot dogs, hamburgers, fish. For eating on the 29th?
Well, we were, and then there was a suggestion that if we have just hot dogs, then depending on the level of turnout, we can cook as we go and don't have a lot of leftovers, but...
I don't know you can cook.
You Same thing, all you got to do is order
Yeah. 30, 40
pounds of fish from Nix's. It costs $75, and they have a fryer out there just frying them.
Yes, you need it.
Need some pizzazz.
That's something Scott's going to figure out.
Well, we have a new person on board.
The whole thing needs to be kind of festive, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so if we do like balloons, or we do
something. Because I ain't getting, I wouldn't get up for a hot dog.
Okay.
I mean, you still buy the frozen fit and have them from Nixon's,
yes,
and they're not frying them,
good.
But they just get them up here, and we can, and whoever you got going to cook out there, there's going to go to hot dogs and fried fish.
Yeah. Haven't figured that out yet.
There you go.
Might need commissioner volunteers for that.
Well, you may have an assistant county manager after today. How's that?
Fried fish.
There you go.
Fried fish instead of hot dogs?
I think.
Oh,
and. I would think and.
Snow cones.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's definitely a.
Yeah, there's a local guy that does the snow cones and stuff too. It might be real nice. We use them all
on a hot day, yeah.
Yeah, the snow
cones. It's going to be hot.
Okay.
How many people do you anticipate? Do you have any guests at all?
No. Not a clue.
Where do we McLean? It should be quite a few.
Yeah.
Three legislators and us five. And Scott. And
hell, I'm
Sarah.
Always up for some fried fish.
Yes. Sarah, are you coming?
Yeah.
It's
well,
hard to know.
Yeah, that's why.
If there's
two
kids,
it's just hard. I'm not looking for a lot of people, but I might be wrong.
Let's be optimistic.
But you'll have 250.
Yeah.
I guarantee you we'll have 50.
It's in the paper and food is mentioned.
Listen, the Roanoke River flood. Meeting we had over there, I thought we might have 30 to 40, and that was it. We had 200 plus.
Yeah, so.
Because
a lot of people won't bring their kids. If I had my small children, I wouldn't want to take
them. Yeah, I mean, two years ago, I did a fun day right at the park out there by the zoo, and we had 260. Mostly kids. I had to bring the kids because I knew we had a fun day.
So I don't see how it's been done.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, but it is hard to do.
What else?
Was there another topic?
Oh, yes. So I have some friends through Albemarle and Mayus that are involved in Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and they contacted me about giving, and so I had lunch with them last week, and they want to get started in Bertie County, or back started, I should say. And so I am working on getting a group together for a little small social, like a core group. So if y'all have any suggestions of someone that you think would be good to contact, to invite to my little social, some core people that would be active in the group, active in the hub, they call them hubs when they go to the schools and pray.
YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association.
Go ahead.
His assistant to Mish. She'd be great.
Okay. What's her name?
We call Mish.
Mish?
Yeah, just ask it, Casey.
Okay.
And another two I know.
Since there's so many missionary Baptist churches here, why don't you contact Ms. Lori Cherry? Lori Cherry, she's the secretary treasurer of the West Roanoke Association. She would have you, I mean, virtually all the African-American churches here are missionary Baptists. And that's their association.
All right.
Who's the president now?
It was a white church, but he's gone on, so I'm not sure who the president is now.
My last
was first vice president, but that's second. On that kind of on that same note, just so you know, the Coalition of the Cross, which has been operating in Chowan County and Washington County, is looking to have a presence in Bertie County. This is Methodist, and they have a endowment from Duke University, $600,000+, and they're going to do home improvements in this county. This will be their third county. They want a place in Bertie County. And we looked at Edgewood. But it may not work. And the parsonage next door is too small. They need something that can house and sleep anywhere from 17 to 20 people, because they're throughout the whole year they will be here in Bertie County. They rotate people in for 2 weeks, 10 days to 2 weeks, and they'll be doing, you know, replacing windows, stone roofs, any kind of maintenance, absolutely free, no cost. And, you know, they, so far we've been getting that down every year. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of money that can be spent in this county, but they need a place. They're willing to pay some minimal rent, but they don't want to put all their money in the rent, mm-hmm. right, for a place to stay, but they can, people can sleep. They put up, you know, they have carts and cots and all this kind of stuff. So they don't even think of anything.
Do we have any churches that are set up to offer that sort of accommodation?
It's all year round, and that's the tough part, Scott. It's not like once and twice. That's why we look at the Edgewood, mm-hmm. because it's vacant, mm-hmm. and it's in a floodplain, though, and I don't know if they're going to let us do anything with Edgewood now until that's been it's been mucked out. But
how about that old daycare in Orlando on 305?
I know we're talking about 305.
Yeah, on 305. That, they say that's a nice building.
As you get where is it?
It's just before Orlando on 305. It used to be.
Oh, with Bob Melton's old place. No.
Somebody's in that.
Oh, no.
It used to be a manufacturing or something, then they turned it into a daycare. And it's on the right, I believe.
Close into the town of Orlando?
Yeah, before you get to 11.
I'd say it's halfway between Rice
and Bill. That would be Melton's place.
It's out in the country, not in town.
Yes, in the country.
Now that's Bob Melton's place. That's been taken.
What are they doing with it?
Something to do with the cars out there.
Yeah, something to do with.
They keep the grace.
They mental health.
So that's all I know. They work in.
People meet their groups, things. I don't know.
What about the place on 308? It's on the right. It's, I don't think it was ever a daycare. It looks like some type of a commercial building.
Mabane and Associates.
Yeah, Mebbin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mebbin's place.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've never been in it.
I haven't either.
Well, I see it all the time.
Yeah.
Right there at the trailer park.
Yeah.
That's
the
good one.
Yeah, because upstairs is an apartment, hot tub, all kinds of stuff. Mm.
Well, that's the place in the back, right?
You're talking about Mebbin's. The warehouse around 308.
Yeah, but his place.
Yeah, but there's a second floor in it in the warehouse. It has an apartment up top. And
that's where he used to stay.
That's the place in the back.
He used to stay
there.
In the front place on the road?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought the thing was in the back. Uh-huh. Where the brother's man had.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I just didn't know if it was occupied or not. It looks like a nice building, but
yeah,
I
don't
think
he moved somewhere.
I think he's in Virginia now. So, he got a bad city.
There's that building out there by Sproul.
Nice, too. Two's a leather.
It's a warehouse or something.
Perfect.
So how many people are they going to have at a time?
17 to 20. They come in for a 10-day stay and they rotate. But it's every, all the time. There will be somebody there all the time.
Okay. That warehouse out by the school building?
Where is it?
I wonder if Tony Hughes would offer up the area that EMS was in.
No, Scott, we've looked at it.
Okay.
We went out and saw it with Tony's approval.
Okay.
But I don't think it passed
as far. Well, again, we'd have to now look at that issue.
I don't think it passed as far.
Tony wanted money. I mean, you know Tony's, you know, he wanted regular rent. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
They don't want to put all their money in rent. I mean, they will let it pay something. That's why we're looking at Edgewood, because Edgewood mm-hmm. is not being used, right? What about
speaking of Tony and Mayor, are they making their improvements they need to?
There is work underway.
Right.
And there's actually work underway on Mr. Chairman's building too.
Right.
And both have been in touch with the inspections department about what they need to
fix. They fixed the building themselves. Well, anybody know anything about the place in Lewiston? I mean, the Lewiston daycare place in Mount Olive. I know they had buses in there, but these guys do that work.
They've been working on that. I don't know.
They have been?
Yeah, I've seen a truck out there, people with lumber in the back of it and stuff, so I haven't been in there. Somebody can go and find out.
That's just, you know.
in the old grocery store in Lewiston.
It's been bought by the town.
But oh, has it?
Yeah. I don't know if...
That's kind of west. They'd rather be centrally located. They'd rather be somewhere like a little bit west of Woodson, just a little.
Where they want to do a place to stay, right?
Yeah.
Once, but southwest, the backside, maybe in the west more time.
But they want rent,
huh? I don't know. Look, they do something. I mean, you can go talk to a school superintendent.
Windsor Assembly has a building back behind them that I don't know that they use. Really, is that for storage, maybe?
They don't need anything fancy. I mean, they do work. They yeah. need to work. They could do the work. That's on...
About out by Sandy.
Right, 17. Oh, oh, business yeah. 17. Across
from
Duck 3.
Before we break for lunch, can we talk about our guest who's going to be here after lunch a little bit?
Sure. Do we need to go in closed session?
Probably. Yeah.
How much are you going to closed session?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Well, guess what? He goes back on the clock at 11:03. And we just went into closed session. So now.
That's perfect time.
All in favor?
Aye.
Let's roll.
Well, Commissioners, it's my pleasure to introduce Mr. Juan Vaughn. We had a rigorous set of interviews last week, and our team was unanimous in making this recommendation. So without further ado, welcome, Mr. Vaughn.
Thank you very much. And good afternoon to everyone again. As I said before, my name is Juan Vaughn II, and I am delighted and very excited to be interviewing for Assistant County Manager for Bertie County. I'm excited for you all as well to finally now have a position for Assistant County Manager. I think that's great. And so I'd like to thank you, each of you, for allowing me the opportunity. So I'll just go through a few slides to introduce myself and to tell you what some of my interests are and vision for Bertie County. A little background. I'm sure you've all seen my resume, but just to provide a little bit more, I am a native of Hertford County, so I attended Hertford County Public Schools K-12. Upon graduating from Hertford County Public Schools, I attended North Carolina A&T State University, where I obtained a Bachelor of Science in Chemical Engineering, and I went on to obtain a Master's degree in Mathematics from Elizabeth City State University. A little bit about my work history. I spent about 8.5 years working at Roanoke Chowan Community College, and I had several positions there, including, as you can see, compliance and data coordinator, accreditation liaison, where I was that link between the college and the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools, who gives the colleges accreditation. I was also a mathematics instructor, and before I left, I became lead faculty over a few departments in general education, such as health and physical education, English and science departments. Okay, I'll tell you a little bit about what I do outside of work. I'm on the Director's Council for Vidant Roanoke Chowan Hospital. I serve on the Communities and Schools Advisory Board, and I'm also a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. And these boards help me, give me a good overview of two important issues in today's society, which include, health and also education, which are two things that I consider our priorities, not only for our area, but for all areas, because those are two very important things. And my fraternity is very involved with community service, doing things in the community, and we usually award $500 scholarships to students in the surrounding areas, and Bertie County is usually one of those. My hobbies. I like to travel, love to play tennis. I usually play tennis at Chowan University. My wife is from here, which I'll talk about in just a second. But so we've also been over here to play somewhere in Bertie County. I can't tell you exactly where just yet, but I love to attend church. And I also, my wife loves to pick at me because if it's 7 o'clock on any weekday, I'm in front of the TV watching. Love that show. All right, so now about my family. I'm married to Austin, former Austin Hill, and she's my wife of almost 2.5 years now. And she is a native of Bertie County, born in Bertie County, and she attended, again, kindergarten through 12th grade here in Bertie County. So she is a product of the public school system here in Bertie County. And she's currently a school psychologist. And so she absolutely loves her job. She loves education, and she loves researching and advocating for students who may have some challenges or barriers that affect their education. She loves advocating for them, and so that's exactly what she does. So upon getting married, my wife and I considered, or we talked about having children. And when we found out that we were gonna have a baby girl, that was my reaction. Very, very excited, very happy, very nervous, very afraid. But baby girl is here. She's born in December, so she's now 5 months old.
I told the board he had to score points with photos.
Wait a minute, he's cheating now. That's cheating.
These are the low ones.
She has come along and absolutely changed our lives. Our lives have not been the same since she's been here, and so now it's not anymore just
and it
me
won't
and Austin.
28 years now.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Oh my goodness. So 28 years. It's all three of us now, not just me and my wife. Alright. So now my current experience, I want to talk to you a little bit about what I do now. I'm currently the assistant county manager, as you know, just across the line in Hertford County. And when Ms. Williams, who's our county manager, is not there, I'm that person who employees come to or who citizens come to when they need something that they haven't been able to get or when they don't know where to go. So I am able, and that's what I do now, is make decisions in the absence of the county manager when it comes to speaking with board members. If we have inclement weather and we need to make some quick decisions about closing, or if it's something pops up and I need to communicate with the our county attorney, that's what I do in her absence, able to make decisions that need to be made when she's not there. I am the manager of special projects. Anytime that we have any type of project that needs oversight, I provide that. Actually, you know, anytime the county manager needs anything, I'm that person.
Anything they don't want to do themselves.
Pretty much. But when it comes to the budget, that's one thing that's at the front of my mind now, because it's budget season. And so Ms. Williams presented her budget the first meeting, first Monday in May. And so that's what's at the front of my head, because so much went into that when it comes to gathering the departmental requests, assisting them with their budgets for the upcoming year. We've also done a salary study, and that was a big part of that, using scatter plots and different things, gathering those things so that Ms. Williams could present her plan to resolve that salary compression and other things to the board. So that's something else that I do. Whether or not we have a renovation project or a new building, I would oversee to make sure that things went the way that they were supposed to until project completion. Some of my favorite duties include, or are related to, human resources, which includes performing screening and interviewing of applicants. I'm regularly on interview committees when we have various positions that are open. And I also, if we have some issues to arise where there are personnel matters and we need to find out exactly what's going on, I do conduct investigations. And upon the results of those investigations, I will or have recommended counseling, coaching, even termination for employees. I'm also the fleet manager in charge of keeping up with all of departmental vehicles, the mileage, making sure if there's a recall or if something needs to, a particular vehicle needs attention. I'm in constant communication with the department head, making sure that that is taking place. I also oversee our general liability and property insurance. That's something else that was just wrapped up, making sure that our property schedules were not renewed, but making sure the insurance was renewed, but making sure our property schedules were up to date and it included all of our buildings, our what we call the property in the open, our auto insurance, and just our general liability. Anytime there's a claim, whether there's a vehicle that was wrecked or whether someone falls on one of our properties, I'm responsible for collecting that information and making the claim with our with Cedric Insurance Company. So we are members of the risk management pool. I believe you are too, but
we are.
So that's just a few of the things that I do right now as Hereford County Assistant Manager. Additional knowledge and experience. Towards the end of last year, I was the acting clerk to the board for about 4 months. Our clerk at that time retired, and so the commissioners chose, selected me to be acting clerk until they hired a new clerk. So I am very familiar with working closely with the commissioners, gathering or preparing board agendas, making sure that people are contacted, to be on the board agenda, depending on what the needs of the commissioners are, making sure that the agendas go out to that to our Sunshine Committee, making sure that everybody who's supposed to get a board packet gets one, including our county attorney. And while I was doing that, I was also in that first course, Municipal and County Administration. I believe I shared that with the interview board, and they asked me about my one of my greatest accomplishments since I've been in this position, and that was one, because on top of having a new baby and having being serving in that capacity as clerk to the board, I was in that rigorous municipal and county administration course for the course of about 8 months. Of course, I'm sure you all are familiar, but that took me away from my job about 1 week over the course of 8 months. And like I said, it was pretty rigorous, but I made it. I completed that course. Other courses I've completed while I've been in this position include budgeting and local government, and also the Community Development Academy. All other meetings and conferences that I go to include safety conferences, the NCACC spring and fall meetings, and of course our County Assembly Day. And I'll just say here that I think it's very important that we go, leadership as well as our employees, get training, because that's how we that's how we reduce liabilities, first of all, but that's how we gain knowledge, and that's how we're able to bring knowledge back and to implement that in what we do in our everyday work here. My vision. My vision can be summed up in about three points that you see here. The first one being servant leadership. I believe I also shared that with interview committee, that my leadership style is one that is collaborative. I'm not the type to be a dictator and tell my employees that, you know, do this because I said so. However, I am able to make decisions and, you know, make requests of them and, you know, let them know exactly when I need it and what I want. However, when it comes to being a leader, I think it's important to be a team builder. I think it is important to be compassionate and to be empathetic and to develop our people. We have to take care of the people who are in our charge. So our employees, I feel like we have to make sure that they're well trained. We have to make sure that we develop them into who we want them to be so that they can meet our standards and so that they can serve the citizens of the county. And that's what it's all about. We're public servants, and I think that's what it's all about, is serving our citizens. And with that said, in servant leadership, the number one goal of servant leadership is to serve. And again, that's what we're here to do. We're here to serve the citizens of this county. So I think it's very important for us to make sure that our citizens are satisfied and to make sure that they are well informed. I know that you all have a communication survey, and I believe that was used to poll citizens in Bertie County to see exactly what were the best modes of communication to get information to them. And I thought that was great when I saw that, because our citizens need to be informed. And we need to know the modes of communication that work best for them so that we can utilize those modes effectively. Effective project management. When opportunities arise, we have to make sure that we have someone in place to oversee our projects. to make sure that they go the way that they're supposed to go. Because if we have access to certain things, whether it be grants or any particular type of growth, if we don't have someone at the table making sure that we get what we are supposed to get, then that there's an issue there. We have to make sure that we have someone overseeing the projects and making sure that we see those projects through. Because once we tell our citizens that something is coming, they're going to be expecting that something to come. All right? And then lastly, capitalizing on opportunities for growth. Again, when it comes to trainings, when it comes to seeking out grants, we have to be able to, we have to have someone there at the table. And I'm willing to absolutely be a part of that, because we have to research and find things that we can use to make our areas grow. So I'm all about being proactive, energetic, and going out and seeing what we can do to bring things to our to our county. My interest. Tall Glass of Water, that project. I read a little bit about that, and I noticed that you all had recently gained 10 additional acres of land to go along with that, and I thought that was great. I think Bercy County is a beautiful place, and I'm so glad that that is one of the projects here. The Roanoke River flooding, I did a little bit of a reading on that as well, and I know that a lot of farmers and citizens in general, that affects them, and I'm sure that they are very concerned about that. And so that is one of my interests too, coming up with solutions and hearing your input and insight on how to move forward with combating some of those challenges. The junior commissioners, I thought that was so great that you all have, not many counties have that, or I don't even know another one that does, but having the high school students as a part of your body is great. I thought it was great for them to be able to come and add that the insight, because it really does start there, if not before. And it's good to have that input and that insight from our young students. I know that I mentioned the communication survey, which was a great thing. Your new EMS station, I had to mention that, being that this is EMS week, and that new site is now open. That was great. Your cooperative extension and county library facility, I see, is in the works. That is great. I'd love to be a part of that. As also that Blue Jay Recreation Center. All awesome projects that I would love to be a part of and work with. And
excuse me.
Yes.
Could you repeat that last statement? Did you say you would like to be a part of all?
A part of all. Yes. But again, that was just an overview of who I am, of what I do, and what I would love to be a part of here at Bercy County. So again, I thank each and every one of you for giving me the opportunity to come before you today. And if you have any questions, I'd love to answer them.
I didn't know that when I asked you for your job description that you would be the one.
Never know.
You never know.
That's a sign. That's a sign, y'all. That's a sign.
Be careful what you ask for.
But you know, so again, I'm so excited that you all have that position here, assistant county manager. You know, for a while, I never realized that Bercy County did not, you know, have an assistant county manager. But as I learned more about it, let's see.
Yeah. That's
good work.
Mm-hmm. It dawned on me while I was sitting here. Oh, yeah, he's the one I asked for.
One, I know, being part of the group that interviewed you, you know, one of the questions was, you know, you're currently in that job now, right?
Yes,
assistant county manager. Tell us a little bit about why this position in Bercy County interests you.
why this position in Virgin County? Number one, because it's very closely related to what I do now. It's essentially the same job. And honestly, you know, after oftentimes a lot of people will like to, you know, go out, move away, a lot of people from around here. But my wife and I are really committed to being here. Not saying that we're going to be here forever for 30 years, but we absolutely could be because this is home for us. And we absolutely love taking care of our people. And so her being in education, me now in local government, again, that's what it's all about, taking care of your people. I love Hereford County, but I also love Bertie County. And when I came across this position, posted and read job description, I said, of course, that's exactly what I do. And so with all the projects that you have here, now everything that you have going on, I thought I would be a perfect fit.
What system does your wife work with?
She works with Northampton County Schools
Northampton.
Right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a school psychologist for that district.
So she'll have a commute.
She will.
Yes.
She will.
And she's good with that, I guess.
She is. But other counties, Hereford County, has to have school. Other school districts have to have school psychologists as well. And so she's very open to trying to find a position in another county if one presents itself.
And how long have you been with Hereford County, remind me?
A little over 2 years now.
Okay.
I asked him to be prepared for the really tough question. I know we had a big lunch.
You had a lunch, can't we?
I think you did an excellent job on your presentation. However, it was flawed because you had your wife and child. And I'm kind of weak when it comes to children.
Look, I didn't know how weak I was until I had my own.
But with what you spoke on, you sound like you may be a good fit for what we need. We talked about it earlier today. So. Well, thank you for coming over.
A number of discussions about how to get us to the next level. Because
mm-hmm.
we're juggling a lot right now.
Yes.
And I don't mean to pick on William, but there might have been a couple of things on that screen that caught William's attention where he might say, yeah, I'm going to get rid of this too. I mean, because there are a lot of things that just need to be shared. We need to share the responsibility, share the day-to-day burden. Yeah, to have someone that can help bring some energy, bring a new perspective.
Sometimes new eyes is all it takes, is just to come in and say, look, y'all can do the blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and it be a great fit.
And I know, you know, one of the things you said is, in the group is when you looked at the things that we're doing here in Bertie County,
right. That
they were of interest. And some of those things are kind of cutting edge.
Right.
And from our standpoint, at least I think, when I hear our board talk, yes, those things are on the table and we need to move them, right? But we have been a very progressive board. And we, I think, want to continue to look for new opportunities. And we have a lot of catching up to do, whether it's in the area of HR, whether it's an area of, all kind of, economic development kind of issues, housing, whatever it is. So we're not looking for somebody just to handle existing stuff, but to help us identify new opportunities to keep going, keep growing. You know, that's what we got to do.
Absolutely.
Do you have any grant writing experience?
I have never written a grant from beginning to end on my own. However, I have been involved with writing and gathering information for a grant when I was at the college. More recently, Ms. Williams and I worked together on a Golden Leaf grant to expand our water infrastructure system, particularly in Winton and Cofield. And so we made it to the second round of that. We were eligible or hoping for about $900,000 for that grant. However, we did not get it, but we did make it to the second round. And there was also, I attended a meeting at USDA a few weeks ago with regards to some grants that we could possibly be eligible for as well. So we're in the works of exploring those. And I was also speaking with someone in economic development about a grant. We're trying to have our courthouse torn down. And I was speaking to them about some grants that may be able to take care of that. However, haven't been successful there yet because there's a couple of grants that he mentioned that it could qualify for. The commissioners want to go in another direction. Actually, with those particular grants, you have to put a business in the place of what you're tearing down or you know, it would be demolized, but demolition. But the commissioners want to put a park in that particular place. So those particular grants would not work. So I do have some familiarity with seeking grants and grant preparation.
My question is, as you know, Bertie County is noted for many tornadoes, hurricanes.
Yes.
Therefore, we're sometimes out of place and Saturday and Sunday working. Would you have a problem with the young child?
No, ma'am, not at all. My wife's schedule is very flexible, and we also have one grandmother who is retired and another grandmother who's planning to retire next year. So care for my baby won't be an issue if I have to spend weekends or evenings working.
You're apt to find Scott here any time of the day, weekends, it doesn't matter. He's always here, so yeah, I'm sure that's ringing good to his ears. So he'd be willing to do that also.
And can you paddle a canoe?
A kayak, I was going
to say. We offer training.
Okay, we offer training.
I'm a kayak, you're in trouble.
That would be his first day.
Okay. You know, I will say this. I'm glad. One of the things that impressed me is that you do have a connection to this community. That was important. I believe that our number one need is to improve our communication with our citizens. That's what my personal belief is. We have a lot of work we can do. We've made some good moves. But in a county as big as this with, you know, population centers all around, we need to be more effective in how we communicate not only what we're doing, but why we're doing it and how we're doing it and how that is important to citizens. So that means, well, I'm getting out to meet people, getting out for them to know you, right? We don't want them to just meet you here at a community, you know, at a commissioner's meeting. We want, you know, you to be out and be active in organizations and things around the county.
Absolutely.
Hope that's something that you would work on.
Absolutely. I will work on that. In addition to the boards and fraternity that I am involved with now, I attend community events all the time. Whether they're, you know, church events, whether they're walks, I think it's just important to support your community and to be active in the community. So those aren't things that I don't have a problem with at all. And again, my wife being from here, we absolutely just love Bertie County, and she's going to be upset today if I don't bring her back a Stromboli from Lascaux. Absolutely love Lascaux.
You're in trouble today.
That's Monday.
Oh,
that's
my saving grace.
I ate from there last night.
some peanuts, Bertie County peanuts.
Anybody have any other questions?
I'm good.
You good?
I'm good.
Everybody's clear conscience.
We thank you for your time.
Oh, I thank you all so much.
Thank you very much.
We're excited.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Pleasure meeting you.
Pleasure meeting you.
So are we of an understanding that I can put paper to pen and pen to paper?
Yes, please.
Yes, sir.
Try to get him to seal the deal.
You sign the line.
Yeah. I think as long as I got heads nodding, I'm good.
Yeah, you have that. You have that.
Does that mean I pin him now?
You got a Bertie County pin?
Got a bunch
not
of
North Carolina.
I have a bunch
let
of
me, let me hit him with a couple of questions if we can, real quick.
Sure.
Timeline, what would your availability be? terms of giving notice to your existing employer.
I would need to give Hereford County about 30 days. 30 days notice.
We figured 4 weeks.
Yeah. So let's look at the calendar. Today's the 20th. And let me ask you this. Does the county manager in Hereford know you're down here?
Right now, no, she doesn't.
Okay.
She does not.
Okay,
doesn't.
I
hope I didn't mess you up because I did call Mr. Farmer
It's not a problem. She and I have had some conversations, but she doesn't know that I'm here at this moment. But it's not a problem.
Ms. Williams and I have been colleagues for many, many years, and I happen to have stolen one of her employees a few years ago, and I'm probably going to catch it double for this time.
So this would mean by the end of the month, June 20th is actually 4 weeks, but again, by the end of the month, in June?
Yes, end of June, that would be
talk about July 1st.
Yeah, maybe come in possibly that way, on the 24th. Yes, sir. And again, we can work that out, just want to make sure.
What to do on space and stuff before that too.
Yeah, I've already got a team working on space upstairs, so that he can be right in the thick of things with us. And we didn't get to introduce Ms. Dominic Walker.
How are you?
She's assistant to that. She came to us through the fellows program with the Association of County Commissioners. She'd spent a year with them and was here with us for a year.
Okay.
Is now with us forever.
Awesome.
Forever.
She's a fixture. So, anyhow, we are assembling the fixtures. So
we just got to find work for our fiance. And then we'll be good to go.
And again, I want to say a big thanks to Anthony and Ms. Annie and Cindy and William and Commissioner Wesson for sitting in on those interviews. I mean, all the candidates got a very close examination.
Strong
and great
field.
Questions. And but on Friday morning, after everybody had a good night's sleep, we came up with our name. So while I had intended to bring my top two candidates to board, I took a chance and said, I'm going to bring just one. So if you'll allow me to
work with you
on this, I don't know if we have more business for this afternoon.
I don't think we do. I think this was the icing on the cake.
Yeah. Worth the wait, I hope.
Yes. Yeah, thank you very much, so.
I was impressed.
We've been talking about an assistant county manager for at least 2 years.
Yep.
It was last year when I spoke to you. So, and it's been at least 2 years. So we're excited that we're finally at this point.
Absolutely.
And we're excited for Scott that maybe he can dump everything that he doesn't want to do on you.
Wait till he sees the list.
You haven't seen his desk, have you?
Don't let him in there, Scott.
And Rhea, this time, still on his honeymoon, technically, so yeah.
Well, we've got some great projects, and the teacher housing initiative is certainly one of those, but all the others, we've got to get to the finish line.
That's right.
Scott. You still on your honeymoon too?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay.
Well, baby girl kind of interrupted the honeymoon. Sorry.
Yeah, if that's it, I'd like to spend a little more time with him.
I do. Bring a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
No, second.
Second.
All in favor?
All right.
Let's go home.